Global gedacht, der Podcast, der die Welt auf den Kopf stellt.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Global Gedacht. We have a very special episode for you today, coming to you from Kassel, where our strategic planning weekend was taking place. This means 3 days of, well, especially strategic planning, but also lots of team building and fun. And this year we had two very special guests, Siba and Debane, who joined us from the team of Mazi Funded Learner Development in South Africa. They were here as part of a strengthened exchange between our teams. A while ago, also our office members, Julia and Antonia, went to visit Mazi Funded in Walmart in South Africa. And now the two of them spent 2 weeks in Germany to get to know the team, the volunteers, and our programs. All thanks to the support of Lufthansa sponsoring the flights. And for us, it is just very important to foster the exchange and the collaboration between our organizations. And it's always great to have people from South Africa with us. And in this episode, we will talk about Siba and Debane's amazing work with the children and beneficiaries of the programs in South Africa, about their experience here in Germany. And we will also build on our previous episodes and talk about how Mazi Funded South Africa approaches the issue of food security, food sovereignty in different ways. So let's take it away. Here's the conversation I had with Siba and Debane in Kassel.
Hello. Today we have a bit of a special episode because we record in person with two of our guests from Mazi Funded South Africa, Siba and Debane. And it's so nice to be with you in person as a part of our team weekend in Kassel. And we will hear a bit more about your trip to Germany and what you've been doing here. But yeah, first introduce yourselves and tell us what you do at Mazi Funded Germany. Mazi Funded South Africa. Mazi Funded Germany is later. So Siba, do you want to start?
Of course. Hello, everyone. My name is Siba. I am a life skills facilitator and choreographer at Mazi Funded Learner Development in South Africa. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Debane Yordan. I'm a National Changemaker Network Coordinator in Gqeberha. I hope I said that right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's great to have you here. And it's part of a bigger trip. So you're not only coming for this weekend to Kassel, but you have been in Germany for us for 2 weeks now with us. Maybe tell us a bit why and how that happened and what you're doing here and what you've been experiencing so far.
We are basically on an exchange. I don't want to say exchange program because it's not a program, but two of our sister colleagues visited us to experience Mazi in SA. Now we are doing the same. We're experiencing Mazi in Germany and how you work and really learning and exchanging this. And also we actually visited a Learn for Life lesson. So it's really just learning and exchanging.
Yeah, and just to add to that, it's learning about the circumstances as well that could influence the work that Mazi Germany does, and comparing that and comparing how you handle those circumstances and what you do about it, basically.
Yeah, so yeah, a few months ago, two employees from our Berlin office, Julia and Antonia, they were visiting you, and now this is the return visit, so we are very happy to have you here. But yeah, we also want to dive into a bit of the topic we have had in our previous episodes. We want to bridge the gap because we talked about food security and food sovereignty. And also we introduced this urban gardening project in Germany in our most current episode. And yeah, just generally talked about how the issue of food security is spanning the world and what a big issue it is. So maybe tell us a bit about how food security became such a focus for Mazi Funded in South Africa. How did that happen?
The kids that I work with, most of them go to the schools that are within Walmart location. So the primary school learners go to Walmart Primary School or John Maseza. And these are the schools that provide kids with lunch meal for the day. But we do understand that sometimes these kids don't get breakfast before going to school. So the meal that they do get at school is the only meal that they do get. But a concerning factor is that sometimes these meals are not nutrient dense. So it would be mostly foods that are high in starch, just carbohydrates, because even cost-wise, it's more cost-effective, and they can produce those in large amounts. And sometimes when food is being prepared, it's not prepared in the right ways. So you'd find that if there is a vegetable within the meal, it's overcooked. So in essence, the food that the kids are receiving is not nutrient dense. It's just for them to feel satisfied. And that is not what food is about. Food is about really getting the nutrients from the food. And obviously during the pandemic, we saw people not surviving because there was no livelihood to be made. So we were fortunate enough to be able to supply some families with food parcels during the time of COVID, when it was just level 5, level 4 lockdown, when nobody could go out.
Yeah. And to add to that, we also have Maimaito, which is a restaurant at our facilities. And this allows for there to be healthy, nutritious meals that feed their mitochondria at affordable prices as well. And then when learners or beneficiaries of our programs attend some of the programs, they are also fed with those meals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Siba, you are a Learn for Life facilitator.
Yes.
And I know that. So the whole topic of nutrition and food and food security also plays a part in the modules you're doing there. Can you give us some insights into that too?
No problem. So this was specifically done with the grade 5 group, so 11-year-olds, 11, 12-year-olds, under the topic of recycling and gardening. So since we had already focused on climate change last year, not that climate change is not an important thing, which is obviously under recycling, I thought let us focus on gardening within this topic. Yes, we'll touch on recycling. So when we touched on the topic of gardening, I found that most of the kids don't even know the basics of having a garden. You know, at Maimaito or Masifuna Learner Development, there used to be an urban garden that was outside in one of the areas, you know. And over time, there was just no fruits, no vegetables there, no herbs there as there usually was. So this was a great opportunity to be able to involve the kids in basically starting their own garden. You know, so we use that space in partnership with Kolani Siwa, who's the founder of Limupile, which is a garden within Woma location. And we revived the Maimaito garden. Obviously, he was our expert for the day. He assisted us with how to prepare the soil. He supplied seedlings for us. He provided the seedlings for us. And on that Saturday afternoon, the kids were the ones assisting him putting the potting soil and putting in the seedlings. So it was a very amazing practical experience for the kids to do that. And we also had some other excursions with a nursery within the area of Woma. We went around the nursery. We got taught about different types of plants. The kids even got their own seedlings as well. So they were tasked to actually take those seedlings and plant them somewhere at home. And we know that households in Woma or wherever sometimes don't have the space. So how can we still have a livelihood or still have an urban garden without having an actual patch of grass, you know? So using things like we recycle. So we're actually combining recycling with the gardening. So 2-liter bottles that are no longer used, you make holes at the bottom, put the proper combination of soil together, and then that's how you can start your herbs or start your vegetables. And then from there, maybe transfer it to something bigger. So we know that in our communities, we use buckets, larger buckets, maybe that are have rust or are not in use. And that can be your garden. You know, you can live off from that, maybe plant carrots, spinach, things that are used on a daily basis. And we also got really, really useful knowledge from Mr. Siwa, as in how do we plant. You know, sometimes you don't just plant the same thing at the same time. After you harvest, you can plant something else in the same area. So it's things that we did not know at all. You know, that's how we try to incorporate that within Learn for Life. And the plan is to have more climate change topics, of course, and more food security, urban garden topics for all grades, not just the younger kids. It must be something that even the teenagers do, even though it may not be cool for them. But sustainability is for everyone, you know. And we also have ideas to improve or enlarge that, you know. So at the current moment, there are trainees that are at Limupele, which will be the ones that teach other people. So we're not just trying to target our Learn for Life beneficiaries only. We can even invite external members to come to Limupele to learn about gardening through one-day programs, weekend programs, or even holiday programs, you know, so that the idea of urban gardening can be in the minds of all the youth within the community.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very nice. Were there any challenges that you encountered with the kids and the young people in the whole context of the garden?
Okay, so when it comes to gardening, we know that when you water, it needs to happen in the morning. So the challenge was that it was having the kids involved was not a sustainable thing, because firstly, that group only comes to Masi 3 times a week and they come in the afternoon. So their involvement was only in the inception of, or the planting of those seedlings. And the whole idea was that they need to be the ones that are responsible for it. So they couldn't do the watering in the morning like it's supposed to be done. Yes, they should have checked the weeds that grow amongst the seedlings, but they did not do that. You know, also on my part, I would forget sometimes. So those are the challenges that we faced when it came to that urban garden. We didn't harvest on time sometimes. Now we see those things, for example, the spinach was overgrowing, you know. So it's a matter of how can we make the urban garden project at Masi, for My Maito, sustainable, you know, because the beginning it was My Maito doing everything, but we wanted the kids to be more involved. So how can we still have the kids involved in a practical way? That was the challenge that we faced with that.
Yeah, and do you have any ideas how to make that better, or is that still in development?
It's still in development, you know, and I was hoping that with the kids getting their own seedlings, they would see the importance of having to do it every day, of which some of the kids' personal seedlings died off because they didn't take care of them, you know, but it's also really reiterating the point of the importance of gardening, even if you don't have a space. You know, everybody has a random 5-liter bottle. Even if it's one herb that you are producing for yourself, that's R5 less that you're spending at the stores, because you have your own parsley, or you have your own thyme, or whatever herb you're using, or vegetable. You know, we really want them to understand that it's not just for fun. It's really learn for life. It's for life, you know, and that they need to eat foods that are nutrient dense. The kids really love to come back from school eating chips with a lot of preservatives, MSGs, all of that. And I normally tell the kids, guys, you are having 5 to 10 packets of this every day, but you're not having enough vegetables. How, that's not healthy for you, you know. So making them understand the importance of vegetables, not because we're trying to be mean to them, but for them to have good health, good quality health, and not, for now they have the luxury of being young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're 11 years old, you can eat 10 packets of chips, but in 10 years time, that's not going to be practical for you, because you need good food, you need nutrient dense food. So just to sum it all up, the challenges was to make the urban garden something sustainable and practical for the kids to be a part of, and for the kids to change their mindset about food in general.
Mm-hmm. So the garden and his gardener, please maybe repeat his name. I think I won't be able to do that.
Mr. Kolani Siwa.
Thank you. He's an example of someone who implemented his own business in Warma Township. Mm-hmm. And Masifunda is also striving to create a place for young people to try out their own entrepreneurship like projects. And generally supporting out-of-school youth. And Devane, that's a very big part of your work. So if you want, you can elaborate on that. And generally also the other things you're doing, like the Change Maker Network. So please tell us a bit more about your work there.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So yes, we have an out-of-school youth department, which focuses on youth from the ages of 15 up until 35 and capacitates and supports them with their needs. Perhaps it's to get to university, perhaps it's to find a job, but we identify what that need is by them applying to our department for our services. And then we take them through a training, which then makes them think about what are the next steps for them, what do they want to achieve for themselves within their lives. And for some, it could be rewriting matric or applying for university. And we link them to resources that can support them with that, such as computers, the Wi-Fi, and applications that they might need. And then we also support others that are maybe looking for a job right now, and we help them by letting them know what the vacancies are, letting them, training them on interviewing skills, on work ethic, on how to write a CV, how to write a cover letter, and just capacitating them to work independently so that they are able to get the future that they want to achieve, not by us holding their hand, but by capacitating them to be able to do that. And then we also have our entrepreneurship, as you've mentioned, which is really just to take those people that have this idea, that have this concept and this passion, and to help them thrive in it and to help them see it be successful. And one of the ways of doing that is through having quarterly trainings for them where they are trained with other stakeholders as well, and kind of on a how to do what they need to do. And then there's also monthly trainings where they are capacitated on more specifics. Then we also have our incubator at our out-of-school youth department, which allows for them to have a platform to use their business or to at least sell their business to others. So if someone to be a hairdresser or someone's to clean tackies or whatever the case may be, or have or sell food, they can all do that at this incubator that will basically be like a mall for the youth, where they can then spend their time there wisely and also have access to these good services all at the same place. And then it also bridges the gap for those entrepreneurs whose struggles may have been electricity or resources, and maybe that's why they weren't successful. But now we have it all there in one place, and hopefully through this they will thrive. And additionally, the other youth will also thrive because now they'll have a place to go to instead of maybe just walking around in the street. And then underlying that, we also have the Changemaker Network, which does happen within schools, which is a program that aims to capacitate youth generally on topics such as school safety, violence, and bullying, and so forth, and just to help them realize and be capacitated on what they can do to bring about change within the environment. So very often we see that the youth, they can be very almost hopeless, and they won't have motivation because the government isn't doing this, or the principal isn't doing that, or the grant or whatever isn't coming through. But the overall concept of the Changemaker Network is to help them realize what they can do to bring about change with the resources and potential they have, so that this can also just change their outlook on life generally and be more motivated and more driven to go for their goals, knowing that they have the potential to reach it.
Thank you. It's always, we here in Germany, we know generally about what's going on in South Africa, and so much has been changing over the years since I started being involved at Masifunda. So it's always nice to hear from you guys from a direct perspective about what you're actually doing and the kind of impact you have on the kids and the beneficiaries. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
But also, I think both of you are not directly associated with that project, but you mentioned the Corona food parcels that you offer to some families, and to make that more sustainable but still offer some kind of support and nutrition for the families in Woma, you or Masifunde started this cooperation between the soup kitchens and the garden, right? Can you also tell me a bit about that?
So Limopila supplies my Maito with some of the vegetables that we use. We also have another stockist that we use for our vegetables. So with the leftover, I don't know if we can call leftover vegetables, but the ones that have not been sold, those are the crop that is given to these families. So we need to make sure that they're not just getting the starch products, but they're also getting the nutrients from the spinach, the lettuce, from the carrots that are harvested by Mr. Siwa.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe also Debane, because the garden and the gardener, I'm really sorry, I don't think I can pronounce his name, maybe you can tell.
Olani Siwa.
Yeah, he's like an example of someone who started his own business within Woma, right? We could say that. And Masifundo also tries or does offer support for people who do want to start their own businesses, or generally for people, for young people who left school and don't mm-hmm. really know what they're doing and what they want to do and how they can pursue the things they want to do. Okay, we're almost at the end of our episode. I would like to come back to your visit in Germany mm-hmm. once more. You're flying back tomorrow, unfortunately.
So unfortunate.
I mean, I'm sure you're looking forward to not being in the cold anymore, but in summer in South Africa.
In bikinis.
Yeah. But maybe, Jill, like, what were two things you liked about your stay? One thing about Germany in general, and one thing about meeting the people from Massifunde or the work that we're doing here in Germany.
I think the important thing is really the people. The people here are so amazing. And every time I say it, I feel like I'm just crazy. But the people have really been amazing, you know. So open to share, open to engage. You know, it's beautiful to have healthy team dynamics. You know, I'm a shy person. So every time I get into a space with new people, I'm always thinking, oh, how are they going to be, whatever. But we've been welcomed so well, you know, within Masi and also outside as well. I was actually anxious about that, but every anxiety has been cancelled because the people have been so amazing, and I'm so grateful for that. What I learned about Germany, wow, Berlin is amazing. It's so amazing. I love the many cultures that are there as well. I visited Berlin Wall Memorial and also the Jewish Memorial. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what it's called. I'm so sorry. And it was so amazing to see this, because we learned about it years ago. But now to actually see that it was, or realize that this is not just a story in history. You know, it's things that actually took place, you know. So it made me also to be a bit grateful for my life also, and just the opportunity to experience that in general.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. Yeah.
For me, generally, it was also just the rich history. You'd be walking on some random stairs and they're like, you know what happened on these stairs? And I'm like, what? You know, and there's this long story about what happened at that specific spot so many years ago. So there's just such a rich history, and that also everyone knows about it and cares about it and its influence who they are now. So I haven't met even one person who isn't passionate about the history. So that was quite eye-opening. And then also just the general work ethic. I really appreciated that people take work very seriously. You can see there's no games around work. But then at the same time, when it's time to rest, it's time to rest. Like, I know I had one off day, and I mentioned to my colleagues that I sent an email that day, and they're like, what? You sent an email? You know? And also just about the people now. Just that they are really genuine. So really genuine, really, they really do care. And there's no beating around the bush about some things. They're really genuine. They will share. They are kind, and they do it from a good place. So that also made me feel very comfortable and made me feel like I'm in a safe space and in good hands.
That's so nice. I'm happy you felt that way. And I hope you have a good flight back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just one last question to wrap this up. We always like to ask our guests how they turn the world upside down with whatever they're doing. So in your case, with your work at Masi.
Wow. We normally go to camps with the kids. And I remember a week after coming back from camp, one of the kids ran to me with a huge smile and jumped on me to give me a hug. And that for me sums it all up. If I can make one child feel joy that is inexplicable or just undeniable, then that is how I am changing the world from dark to night. You're good to bad, bad to good. I mean, that is so fulfilling, you know. Yes, we work in conditions that are very bad and saddening, but we are making a difference within the individual lives that we are around. So that always motivates me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think for me, so I'm a part of the Changemaker Network, And part of that is really just helping learners and even educators themselves realize that they can bring about change just by being who they are, that they have the resources within them, they have the potential, they are fully capable of bringing about the change that they want to see. And just for them to realize their worth, to realize their potential, and to actually just have their minds be expanded in that way, it just brings so much light and hope, I think, that maybe after being a part of the program or being exposed to the general topics, that they can have a new outlook on life, a more positive outlook, and they can go with that outlook into their families, into their school settings, and just make the world a better place. And I think that really it gives hope to people who maybe, due to their circumstances, think this is all there is and this is all there will ever be, but instead that now they are driven and determined to bring about change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me. And yeah, we'll have a few more days left today and tomorrow here in Kassel. So I'm happy to be spending more time with you. And yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much again, Siva and Devane, for coming to Germany and also for taking some of the group time at our team event away to make room for this conversation. I think it was really worthwhile hearing from them how Masifunde incorporates big global issues into their everyday work. And for me personally, it was also a special episode since it was one of the few we ever recorded in person. Usually Christina and I sit behind our respective screens with our respective microphones and we are connected via video with our guests. And so it was very nice to actually be in the same room with people, and I really, really enjoyed that. And yeah, it's December now, but our podcast year is not over yet. We will release another episode on the big topic of food and food security, and we'll also do our annual recap with the rest of the team, so stay tuned and check out our Instagram. There will be some more insights into our strategic planning weekend soon, and also the amazing Instagram page of Masifunde Learner Development, where you can see for yourself what Siva and Debane were talking about and much more. Please leave a review on Spotify or other podcast platforms and give us feedback if you'd like. For example, it would be interesting for us to hear which episode has been your favorite in 2023. Okay, I hope you have a great winter time or summertime if some Masifunde South Africa people are listening. Stay healthy and positive. Take care. Bye.